Good evening. Welcome to this episode of the Hot Tag Podcast. With me, of course, being Terrence Biggs, is Carrie Angie and Matt Vondre. Good evening, Carrie and Matt. How are you guys?
Oh, well.
I'm doing great. I'm stoked.
Tell you what, exciting weekend of wrestling. So, let's get into it.
Let's get into it. Let's talk about the pay-per-view. I was actually happy with this pay-per-view. I haven't been happy about a WWE pay-per-view in a very long time. It kept my interest. Carrie, what were your thoughts exiting the pay-per-view?
I thought it was pretty solid. I mean, aside from, Charlotte winning the belt for the 85th time, I think that was probably my only sore part of the night was that. But Nikki Cross being the shocker of the night, I think, I sure wasn't expecting that. I really, 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 really thought that the men's Money in the Bank match went a little long, but it was still really good.
Matt, what did you think?
So, I guess first thought, WWE could just the pre-show is just there. They're just hoping to sneak things in, and people won't notice. I mean, Jimmy Uso, as we talked about, just had his second, third, fourth OWI-related incident a couple weeks ago, and now he's a tag champion, so congratulations to him. They don't do anything on there, and why belts change hands on that to begin with, I will never guess. But anyhow, besides the pre-show, yeah, that was a wonderful show. I agree with Carrie. The Nikki Cross thing, very surprising. I think it's an interesting gimmick, but it works, and people want to see her do well, so I'm all right with it. Cena coming back, a little interesting. We'll see what that happens there going forward. It was just a good pay-per-view. It was really good. I wanted to watch it, and I wanted to see more. It was good.
Now, you mentioned Nikki Cross, Matt. Now, to Carrie, Nikki Cross is fascinating to me. When she was in NXT, she was Insanity, and she was kind of the unhinged type, screaming and losing her mind. She really has taken to the superhero gimmick. First, to me, it seems smart of the WWE to introduce this gimmick slowly, because when the fans start coming back, it's going to be, I think it has the potential of being like a Mighty Molly type of thing, where people pop for it. It may not be the most interesting or funny, but people will pop for it because it's bright, it's cheery, it's something you've never seen before. And she literally looks like she's having a good time.
I mean, she's using she's had the fans behind her forever. I mean, yeah, she was doing the, the female Dean Ambrose there for a minute. I mean, I kind of enjoyed her and Alexa when they were tagging. I kind of enjoyed that. You're always going to have, I think it almost worked out to be introducing this gimmick with the fans coming back, because these type of superhero gimmicks, they need the fans. You're not going to, this wouldn't have flown during the height of the pandemic, because you need those fans to boost a character like that. Like you said, it's not, maybe not the most interesting character, but when you have somebody cutting promos about positivity and believing in yourself. I mean, that goes as far back as Hulk Hogan. I mean, everybody loves a good Hogan. Everybody loves that, mm-hmm. Take your vitamins and say your prayers. Everybody loves that.
Now, when I look at it, Matt, when you look at Nikki Cross and you look at somebody who needed that, she needed this. Like, Alexa went off into the weird, wild blue yonder or whatever the hell the fiend was. Mm-hmm. And Nikki was kind of left there. She made their tag team because she had that energy. And, like, she had a personality that no one thought she had. But now she has the Money in the Bank contract. I am hoping among all hope that Alexa beats Charlotte for the title and then Nikki cashes in and she beats Alexa. That is my hope. Because if anyone needs that title, anyone deserves to actually have their one moment of, hey, I was women's champ, Nikki Cross has to be it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I can't really disagree with that. she deserves it. She's earned it. I mean, just look at you guys mentioned before about, like, her run with Insanity. Like, that was, what she did with what little she was given like she dives into these characters. She's fun to watch. She is a wonderful performer. She's a great, I wouldn't say great in ring, but she's good in ring. Like she can go. It's fun to watch, and it's fun to, like Kerry said, it's fun to watch somebody just have fun with a character for once. Like what was the character's name way back when? Shane Helms. What was his gimmick there? Exactly. People love this stuff, though. So, yeah, what's wrong with it? You know, and Nikki Cross can pull it off. So, yeah, absolutely. WWE should put the belt on her at some point sooner than later with this. I wouldn't mind seeing that at all.
I really hope that she holds off on cashing in until Mania, because the thought of having her build this up and having her WrestleMania moment while cashing in and winning the title. Listen, I pop for very few things. I will come out the chair clapping and cheering for this woman. Like, it is such a hilariously entertaining story. Her superhero is funny to me, and it's an entertaining story. What is not funny, Kerry, is can we be done with backstage sketches and backstage interviews? They're so dumb. If you're in a backstage interview, shouldn't you look over your shoulder and hope that you don't get attacked? Like, we've seen this since Raw started. Like, why do we need to be backstage?
I mean, it's been garbage for a long time, but I mean, there's some of those Attitude Era backstage things, you can't beat them. I mean, Kurt Angle with the cowboy hat. I mean, I can think of a laundry list of really good ones. I don't, the thing that aggravates me the most is when these wrestlers just come out of the ring and one of these, I'm going to call them sideline reporters, ambushes them. I think that is the absolute worst. How are you going to be able to listen to anybody talk when they're going like this? It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, if you are going to do something backstage, at least make it count. Make it advance the story. Make it advance. Make it draw some heat. Give it a purpose. Right now, it doesn't serve any purpose, but to just, I think it brings any wrestling show down because they're just crap.
Now, Matt, like Kerry mentioned, back in the Attitude Era, you'd have sketches, and you'd have Steve Austin, who's walking to the ring, or somebody walking to the ring. That was a backstage segment that led to something. This person going to the ring to get in a fight with somebody. Now it just seems like everybody has a backstage segment, and even like the lower to mid-card people, I'm like, I don't need to see Luchasaurus doing a backstage segment. I don't need to see Matt Hardy, one, on my TV at all. But two, doing anything backstage. You're like a mid-card guy who honestly should be there for enhancement talent because you're a name and to hopefully get people over. Where do you think the plethora of backstage foolery came about, and how would you stop it? How would you connect what happens in the ring to what happens in backstage to make it seamless and not so contrived?
Well, I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, that story came out about the fired writer. I mean, she was just a comedian writer that knew absolutely nothing about wrestling. I think we can do away with that. And they need to have some baseline, like wrestling knowledge, you know, what people want to see. But, I mean, you can tell it's a lot of comedy writers that they just want to, you know, they want to put on skits like on SNL, and that's what it seems like. You know, the backstage things, we can get rid of them, quite frankly, if we're not going to. Kerry's right. When's the last backstage promo you've seen that, or skit or whatever you want to call them, that actually like advanced a storyline or did anything meaningful for a feud? Nothing comes to mind right off the top of my head here, but it's frustrating. They're constantly cutting backstage to do something goofy. It's not entertaining as a wrestling fan. I mean, I don't know what audience they're trying to reach with those. They're not funny. They're not entertaining. They're just there. I mean, like you said, Terry, these lower to mid card guys, why aren't they fighting against this though too? Like, why don't we have a quick 5-minute match instead of messing around backstage and doing some garbage? Let's do something in ring. It's not entertaining.
I mean, if you do want to do stuff like that, limit it the way AEW has with the BTE stuff on YouTube. Do it on a different platform. do it in a different place. It could serve a purpose if it was done properly. Like I said, the BTE stuff is incredibly entertaining, but I don't feel like it has a place on a show, which is, that's one thing AEW is doing right. They're not putting it on the show. They're putting it somewhere else. WWE, though, they're just not. They're doing a horrible job with it. It's just absolutely horrible.
Now, you mentioned the BTE stuff. Now, here's my thing about BTE and AEW. It's too much. They tie it in too much with Dynamite and probably upcoming show. Was it Rampage? I think that they almost have too much content where you have to watch all the offline, all the off-TV content to kind of get the concept of what happens on TV. And that's a lot of wrestling. All three of us are wrestling fans, been so forever. That is a lot of content to try to digest. I think what AEW needs to do is, like, pare it down a little bit. Like, I don't need 75 matches on Dark. I don't.
They're trying to feel around and figure out where they need to be, the level of content. I mean, like I said, I watch Dark and Dark Elevation, but I'm not invested in it. If I see on Twitter, so and so is having this match on Dark Elevation, I'll give it a watch, but I'm not going to be invested in it. But I mean, some of the BTE stuff, you have to go all the way back and watch all of it to understand any of it. You can't just get a little piece of it and get the gist of it. You have to go back and watch all of that stuff. And you're right, it's an overwhelming amount of content.
I mean, Matt, it is the kind of content where it's like too much of something is never good. Like, as people know, I'm a fan of the Tequila Sunrise. I can have one, maybe two. I'm not having four, because four, no. Mm-mm. That is an ugly thing that no one needs to see. And it's just, it's too much of one particular thing. I think that the WWE, with having like main event and having, was it Talking Smack, it's too much.
Yep.
How would you pare it down to make it make sense?
Oh, wow. How would I get it done? You know, your diehard wrestling people kind of live for this stuff. I mean, I think we play softball with a guy who gets really into all this stuff, to be honest with you. I mean, there's an audience for it somewhere, right? I mean, people do watch wrestling 7 days a week. It's why the WWE Network, or former WWE Network, why it works for a lot of people. There's a lot of content out there. I don't know. I mean, these companies do different things for different people. I guess if people are entertained by it, run with it. You guys are right, though. Like, some of the stuff, though, you can't take something that you're doing on YouTube that, you know, has 100,000 views and try to put it out in front of a million people, because 900,000 of them have no idea what the heck you're doing. I mean, that is frustrating as a fan, because there's been a number of times where I don't watch a lot of stuff on YouTube, just being honest, but where you'll watch something and be like, oh, that doesn't make sense, and then you'll have to read about it on some insider page to figure out, oh, okay, that's the connection here. So, yeah, it gets a little frustrating.
Now, when we come back from break, I want to delve into something that kind of is a little bit of an annoyance that we all have, being fans of everything. But first, I want to take this quick break. You are listening to your favorite of mine, the Hot Tag Podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with the Hot Tag Podcast. Vondre, Angie, and Biggs. Carrie, comedy wrestling. We all have seen it. We all have laughed at some of it. We all have cringed at some of it. Do you think, because there is so much, as we've spoken about, wrestling content out there, that there's almost too much comedy wrestling?
I mean, there's a lot of bad comedy wrestling, but I mean, I actually watched a bit of the Corny's drive-through a little bit on YouTube earlier, and he's talking about comedy wrestling. I mean, we all know that's when Cornette can't stand a curtain jerker, but I mean, when it's done properly, it can be a solid draw. I mean, like R-Truth still He's doing the same thing he's done for the last 15, 20 years. It's still funny. I'm like, we're talking about Hurricane. I mean, superhero in training? Come on. That was, I mean, that was classic. I mean, Head with Al Snow, Perry Saturn with Moppy. I mean, it can really be once. I mean, and one of my favorite things WWE's done in the last 10 or 15 years was Southpaw Regional Wrestling. That was absolutely, I mean, I know, yeah, it's not technically wrestling. It's wrestling content, but it was hysterical. I absolutely loved it. I wish they'd bring it back. And to be honest, I'm waiting for a promotion, one of the big ones, to do a Lethal Leap Year. I'm still waiting for Lethal Leap Year.
For me, man, being a little older, I need to think about how I'm going to phrase these words. But when I was a kid, there was always a little person. There you go. I looked up. That's fine. A little person match where they had a tag team with Little Lord Littlebrook or Little Mr. T or a luchador wearing a mask who was a little person. And these were always early on in the card. They're like your popcorn, ha ha ha, funny, and then just be done. I think when I watch somebody like the Young Bucks, or even I'll use Dr. Britt Baker as an example. Britt Baker is a heel. She got over as a heel. I don't need her and Tony Schiavone like being BFFs. I don't need like serious heels trying to crack jokes. I don't need the Young Bucks trying to be funny. It's, or not to seem like I'm picking on AEW, I don't need Seth Rollins trying to be funny either. Actually, I don't need Seth Rollins on my TV, but that's another story. Do you think that the line between face and heel is irreparably blurred because of too many people trying to be the cool heel?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just listen, when people come to the ring, I mean, everyone gets cheers. Some people, I mean, maybe you'll see a spattering of boo. Nobody knows anymore. And I think a lot of it has to do with these promotions. Don't 50-50 booking, for one, just sucks. So, I mean, nobody knows who to cheer for, to be honest with you, half the time. So that's frustrating. Oh, I a couple ribs here and there, like, fine, I guess. But, yeah, you're right, Terry. I'm a little more old school, too. Like, I want to see some wrestling. I want to see guys who have, you know, I want to see a face who get, you know, can get the crowd riled up, and a heel that people actually hate, and something believable. Like, and that's the problem with comedy wrestling, is we're just, it feels like we're trying to make everything into a big comedy out there. It, like, you know, we've got to laugh at everything. It's not, I think the wrestling product is hurting because we're trying to make everything into the sitcom instead of, you know, a real sports entertainment type television. It's just not, I'm probably more with you on this, Terry, where we can just get rid of a lot of the comedy.
Talking about heat and stuff, the heat that we have now is go away heat. We have go away heat with Charlotte. We have go away heat with Roman. And that's another thing with the heels. I'm tired of people telling me, okay, you're supposed to not like him. He's a heel. You can't like him. But the heels the people that are being pushed to us, Roman, I'm over it. I'm over it. I don't buy him as a face or a heel. It's none of anything that's going on is really believable. It's just not, it's not believable.
For me, I grew up like Ric Flair was a heel. He was funny as far as things he said. He wasn't trying to be funny with his opponent. He was just being funny in his long promo. But he got to the point at the end where he told people, I'm better than you, and this is why. And he made sure that he hit all the notes. And it just, Dusty Rhodes was funny because no one understood what he said. He was unintelligible because of his accent. But it was funny in that context when you had too much clownery happening. And for me, it's, I want better promos. Promos are, they're what get people in the building. And it's what keeps people in the building. Speaking of people in the building, Kara, we need to talk about cultish fans. Now, McGraw, like I said, I was an NWA, WWE guy. I didn't care. Like, I didn't have a preference, but I watched all the wrestling. I still watch a lot of the wrestling. But there are these tribalistic folks who, no matter what the WWE does, they either love it or they crap on it. Just like with AEW, I want both companies to be better because I want people to be entertained. Wrestling is entertainment. Do you feel as though the tribalist culture is toxic and it will ultimately affect the business itself?
Absolutely. I'm an equal opportunity wrestling watcher. I'll watch Impact. If there's something going on interesting, I'll watch AEW. I'll watch WWE. Now, like I've said, I mean, I really stopped watching a WWE on a weekly basis probably around 2005. And that would have been around the time that the Kane and Lita pregnancy thing was going on. Mm-hmm. That's what got me away from it. But, I mean, I really started coming back to it some. But like I said, I'm an equal opportunity watcher. I'll go watch NWA. I'll go watch – I really feel like, well, I'm not – I refuse to watch AEW because I'm WWE. See, growing up, I was WWE. I didn't – WWF back then. I didn't really watch WCW. I really didn't watch – so for a long, long time, I was strictly WWE. But now it's like I really will watch anything. But I feel like these fans, if you're not watching AEW just because it's not WWE, you're missing out. You are. Now, is AEW perfect? Do I feel like AEW is direct competition for WWE? No. Nobody will ever be direct competition for them ever again. That ended with the territories. When the territories ended, that competition ended. I mean, I really feel like some of these guys, some of these people, some of this, I call it the Corning effect. Some people are, I'm excluding the present company, but some people are so stuck in their old school mentality that anything new pops up and they're immediately against it. And that's what I'm seeing with a lot of WWE hardcore fans, is they're refusing to say, oh, there's something new out there. Well, I'm just not going to watch it. That's a waste.
Matt, to a similar point in Kara, you also have AEW fans who are sensitive that if you mention botches, or if you're sensitive that if you mention, like, some of the aspects of AEW that needs tightened up. Do you think, because for me, the first memory of AEW I do have is of Cody Rhodes with the giant throne and taking a sledgehammer and destroying it. That was a shot at WWE. There was no need for that at that point. Do you think that the fans tend to thrive off the little shots that go between companies, and do you think that ultimately that's going to hurt the business?
I don't think it really hurts the – you know, I guess I never really considered – I don't think it hurts the business. I don't think it hurts the business because, I mean, a little friend – is it a friendly rivalry? I don't know. But, you know, they – what hurts – and I'm talking to you, AEW fans, for the most part here. Like, you have to admit, WWE just put on a pretty good pay-per-view. But you go on social media, and you would think that WWE is just total garbage with some of these people. Like, the fans, just enjoy the product, for the love of God. It's there just for your entertainment. Like, enjoy it. If you don't want to watch it, nobody is forcing you to watch it. But, I mean, man, there is some great – honestly, we were just talking about Nikki Cross. Last week we talked a lot about AEW, like some of the stuff. Like, just enjoy the product. If you don't want to watch one, don't watch it. But, I mean, why are we – there are some great athletes and great things going on right now in both companies. And why we have to, you know, try to tear one down just for God knows what reason – I mean, frankly, it just pisses me off sometimes reading this stuff.
Cornette has become unlistenable because every week, I'm like, you would think somebody's holding a gun to this dude's head, forcing him to watch Dynamite. Nobody is. He just, it almost feels like he just wants something to complain about.
It's a very negative show both ways, though. Like, and I get it. He comes from a different age, very knowledgeable. I mean, you cannot knock him.
Oh,
but I just think we need to be. 100%. But how? Like, why can we just not have a program where we talk positively about wrestling for once? Like grow the sport. I mean, all the negativity, it just drives people away, and it drives me nuts.
Why can't we just get along?
Right.
We all love wrestling. Right. Let's just get along.
I think where it affects him is, from what I've listened to, he was off, like, apparently there was a long conversation between he and Tony Khan when it all started. Cornette had to sign a non-disclosure agreement, and he was offered the job, the head job, and he was about to take it, but then Khan started listening to people he could not stand, and Cornette was like, no, and Cornette gave Khan advice. These are, like, I guess his point is this, where, yeah, sometimes he's a little stuck in the past, but there's points of AEW he loves. He loves Cody. He loves Dustin. He loves Hangman Page. He cares about Hangman Page. He rooted for Darby Allin, like Ricky Starks. It's just some of the stuff that, like, the going too crazy with the blood every single week, like John Moxley. Like, I agree with Cornette on John Moxley. John Moxley, half the things he does in AEW, I understand why he was mad at Vince not letting him do WWE, because a lot of them are stupid. Like, if you control John Moxley, you have something there. And I think that where Cornette's issue, from what I was able to understand, is, like, sometimes he goes a little too far, but, like, if he sticks to the concept of how he would book things as far as little technical things, but, like, the slap tag or the not actually tagging the person's hand, little things like that can be fixed, or the referees in AEW are awful. That's not a booking thing. That's not a light thing. That's a fair thing, because referees should not look this incompetent. But, yes, he does go too far. But I do want to talk about WWE call-ups. Apparently, Karrion Kross is set to make his WWE debut. Kerry, how excited should you be when you see the NXT champ walking to Raw?
You should be very excited, because NXT is doing some really, really great things. The way they are cultivating talent is amazing. I mean, Shotzi Blackheart and Tegan Nox, that's very, very exciting. And not just because they came through in the tank, but they're a captivating tag team to watch. They're good in the ring. I think they're doing a lot of great things. Everybody, we should be very, very excited that Vince wants more call-ups from NXT, because I don't know. I've been harping on Raw being pretty – Raw and SmackDown being pretty bad, but this one I'm watching right here, I'm going to have to interrupt our proceedings to give you some breaking news. Keith Lee just answered Bobby Lashley's open challenge, and the two of them are going at it right now, and it's a beautiful thing to see.
Oh, yeah, it's actually been a really entertaining match. Not that I'm not focused on the podcast, but this has been really good, actually.
Keith Lee is – he's a specimen. He's a Mark Henry. He's something to watch. And, I mean, Bobby Lashley – I mean, I did say he does – Bobby Lashley does kind of look like Krang from the Ninja Turtles. But that being said, this is a very entertaining match.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things also, Matt, Tony Storm is coming up. And, Tony Storm is – she has the look of a star. She has the look of someone who can actually help the women's division. Do you think that she will fit in, and do you think they will slow play her push, or do you think they will just strap a rocket to her and send her up?
I mean, I don't think it's – I'll never think it's really a bad idea to slow play pretty much anything. I think eventually you got to get moving a little faster than some of them get pushed, but I do get a little nervous pretty much with any call-up, though, in WWE, because historically it has just not gone well at all. But, yeah, she is one. How old is she, Terry? Do you know right offhand by chance?
I want to say Toni Storm is 26.
She's been around forever, though. She has been wrestling a really long time already. And, yeah, absolutely, she can be a freaking star. Boy, all this stuff is not coming to my head tonight for whatever reason, but what was that women's championship bracket that they had a number of years ago? Boy, yeah, thank you. She showed out in that. I mean, she is fantastic. I could watch a lot more Toni Storm, that's for absolutely sure. But like anyone with WWE, you got to be a little nervous when they do get called up. So
I worry they will screw it up because, well, I don't trust Vince McMahon. And apparently, a lot of this talent, like, they wrestled dark matches. Karrion Kross did, Toni Storm did. Because I'm looking at Karrion. Where's Damian Priest?
Well,
Some of the moves that WWE chooses to make, it really confuses me. It's like you play these guys up like with the Bad Bunny thing with Damian Priest, and then you take them off TV. Like, it's a perfect example. Keith Lee, where's Keith Lee been? Where's he been? I don't understand some of the executive decisions when you push somebody, push, and then you say, oh, well, we're done. But you continuously push Roman Reigns on top of us? Like, I'm at a loss. I'm at a loss with this kind of stuff.
Because for me, it's one of those things that I want the roster to be good, and I want the roster to be fair. Like Matt said, I hate 50-50 booking. I do. It is the worst thing to happen in wrestling. I need clear, definitive ends of feuds. I need feuds to end. I don't need feuds to be 5 months long anymore unless they're for a title. I need clear endings. I don't like the concept of, oh, this is a count-out win. This is the qualification. No, because it takes too long. And I want more because I do feel, Kerry, that NXT, because of Triple H's fondness for his talent that he's created or he's helped develop, they hold on to people too long. Like, I'll give you an example. Keith Lee's almost 40. Karrion Kross has just turned 36.
Oof.
I mean, these are guys who should have been up on the main roster a while back. Adam Cole is still young at 31, but he's been there 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Bobby Fish is old. He's my age.
And he can go.
He can go, but he's like 45, 46. I'm like, no, it's. I think that they should do a better job with developing the younger talent faster. Even Bronson Reed, he's 33 years old.
Well, Terry, you're 100% right. They should develop these people faster, 100%. Well, problem is, they develop them. They make them stars in NXT, then they bring them up and do nothing with them. So, I mean, they're getting developed because you can watch NXT and watch great stuff. They bring them up to WWE and they bring them up to the main roster and they do nothing with them of any type of meaning. It's frustrating.
So we go from talking about developing talent to bringing out more dinosaurs. Goldberg just showed up.
Oh, jeez.
They can't. They can't find the middle ground. They can, like I said, there's an overpopulation of dinosaurs on AEW, period. And it's happening here. They cannot – it's almost like they just can't help themselves bringing back these old guys that they've rehashed 15 times. It's ridiculous.
Right.
It's ridiculous. Nobody wants to see Goldberg versus Bobby Lashley. I sure as hell don't. I don't.
But yet, there are certain stars, Kerry, who – when they get a certain age, you see the WWE try to put them out the pasture. Prime example is, you're going to hate this, Asuka. They have decided just to send
her
off.
You're not wrong. I can't. It pisses me off that they squandered so much of her. When Charlotte got the belt from her, that was heartbreaking for me. They could have ran with her at least a good year. But they chose not to, and it just, yeah. So, yeah, WWE can't make up their minds. Are we going to keep this guy around for 35 years, or are we could just not? Like I said, it's the booking with WWE is very confusing to me.
Matt, let me ask you this. Do you think Adam Cole is being held back because of his lack of size? Because he can go in the ring. He has great mic skills, but he's not the biggest guy. Like, he's smaller than Daniel Bryan.
Oof. Is he being held back? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just look historically at WWE. They want to just push muscle-bound. They don't really care if you can wrestle. But, boy, if you've got that look, you can hold the belt. I mean, there's a laundry list of those guys. Daniel Bryan types, far and few between, and usually – you know, pushed pretty insignificantly. I mean, Adam Cole, though, for his size, can put on a believable match with pretty much anyone. So why? You know what, though? I mean, you look at a Finn Balor, how much success he's had down at NXT and some of these other, like, some of them just find a home. And I think that they enjoy being the best at their craft on their program. And I'm okay with that, too, you know. But, boy, he's a star, and it really is a shame that he's just kind of stuck where he's at right now.
Now, for me, it is, Kerry, for me, when I look at it, and when I look at this other news and notes, and I look at going towards SummerSlam, and we're talking about John Cena. I was a big critic of the Super Cena era, but there was a little part of me last night when I'm watching Roman talk and you hear the opening of John Cena's theme, you get those butterflies. It's like, oh, John Cena's still a thing now. But it's like, it's a happy return. When you heard that music and saw him return, what went through your mind first?
I just, you could say what you want about his wrestling skills. You could say what you want about all the stuff he's done outside of wrestling, whatever. You hear that music, it's in you. It's in it, some of these guys are just there. And when you see them come back, it's like welcoming an old friend back in the house. It's like, okay, you've been gone forever, but you're right back. We could pick up right where we left off. John Cena is one of those guys. For me, he is this generation. He's this generation's Hogan. He just is. He is that guy. When you think about wrestling, you can't help but think about him because of what he did. I mean, he did. Yeah, I feel like he did a lot of good for WWE. His entire career, it's been a ride with him.
What he did great and what he did most is something that Hogan never did. Cena, one, made the U.S. title relevant again, and two, he put a lot of guys over, and he didn't have a problem with it. Well, except for the Nexus, but other than Nexus, he put everybody else over.
He just has that likable personality. You want to hear what he has to say. You can't help but when he's on the screen, you're watching him. You're hanging on every word he's got to say, and he hasn't wrestled in. When's the last time John Cena wrestled?
The Fiend.
I don't even know.
Last summer.
Yeah, it's been a minute. So I mean, when you have that type of draw, I mean, I don't care if you've been gone for 10 years, whatever, and you come back and you can make as big of an impact. I mean, his stuff on Raw tonight was amazing. So I mean, if you got somebody like that, by all means, use them.
Matt, I look at Cena though in the lens of his contemporaries. They tried to make Roman Reigns that rock character, that soup, that super fan favorite. He doesn't have much personality as a face. And they tried to do it with Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins should never ever talk ever again. Like, honestly, if he gets like 5 minutes, that's fine. But they tried to make him a face. It's a natural thing where the fans, even the fans who booed Cena, they wanted him to show up so they could boo him. So there was like, there wasn't that giant hatred of he's not a heel, he's a face. And when you look at it, who do you think will be the torchbearer when John Cena finally hangs it up? Who's next?
Oh, boy. I mean, you're already seeing Drew McIntyre. People are getting sick of that. Who is next? Are we just talking WWE?
In WWE, who will take the reins from John Cena? Because I have a good one, and it's going to be weird. But
I'm willing to hear it then, because honestly, it's so hard to predict who the next big one like Cena is. I mean, he kind of came out of nowhere too earlier in his career. So by all means, Terry, let's hear it.
MJF, I think when his contract is up, Vince is going to offer him a lot of money, and then he's going to leave, and then he's going to be the guy.
Okay, does he work? Does he then work as a face? Does that work?
No.
I think he would. I think he would work as a face. I swear, I think he would, because Vince likes the guys who can talk. I see a little Miz in MJF, and the way the fans are, in the way that a lot of fans are smart to the business, they're going to throw money at MJF. They will either throw money at MJF, or they will make Tony Khan spend more money than he wanted to spend on MJF. I guarantee it.
He would have had a chance if he hadn't gone nuts on Twitter, I think. I feel like he's grounded in too hard that he's a heel because of some of the things he said on Twitter. Because didn't he flip the bird in a little kid's face? I've seen him say stuff about somebody's grandma. I think it's too far over the edge with MJF. Now, can he talk? 100% absolutely. But I just think he's too far gone as a heel to come back as a face. I don't see it happen. I mean, I wouldn't hate it if it happened. I just don't see it happening. He's too ground in as a heel. I mean, I don't think anybody's ever going to think anything other of him than trying to kill Chris Jericho. I don't think anybody is going to be able to separate that.
In the next 5 years, MJF will headline a WrestleMania. I guarantee you.
That is a bold prediction.
I can see him doing it as a heel for sure. Absolutely, but I don't know as a face, though.
I can see MJF, and honestly, if Vince in the next 5 years decides to retire, step aside, or leave this planet, I can see MJF headlining WrestleMania versus Adam Cole.
Terry, you're definitely right on this, but to Terry's point, he has just dug himself in as a heel. That's a tough one. I don't see it, but he flipped off a child at an autograph signing. that's going to be a tough one for people to overlook.
I look at heels and I look
Talk
at
about image thing. Rehab.
I look at heels. I look at one thing. I look at I mentioned Ric Flair earlier. Ric Flair was a despised heel in the '80s. You know what it took Terry Funk pile driving Ric Flair on a table after WrestleWar 89, 90. And that made Ric Flair a face. It took Terry Funk taking a plastic bag and putting it over Ric Flair's face. Yes, it happened, kids. On national TV to make Ric Flair a face. Ric Flair immediate 180 and became a face. And everybody loved him because the same thing that made him despise made him cheer because they got sympathy. You can turn any heel face if there's another heel out there to get that sympathy heat. And it might take MJF taking a brutal beating or something like Dastardly. I can see it. I don't know what it is, but I can see it. I'm not an MJF fan per se, but MJF is the kind of guy that, because of the way that the business is going, I can see them throwing money. I can see them throwing a lot of money. Another guy that I can see them throwing money at, I mentioned Adam Cole. If Adam Cole's contract is up, I think, end of this year.
Yep, that is correct.
If he doesn't get to the main roster, he'll be in AEW by next spring. Why? His girlfriend works there, and it works for them. But the question I would have for him is this. Does he want to join that upper card where it's a glut of past their prime vets and just guys who they have no plans for? Or does he want to actually kind of wait it out because Triple H is behind Adam Cole, Shawn Michaels is behind Adam Cole. The only person that's not behind Adam Cole is Vince. And I think that Vince's time in that chair will come to an end sooner than later. And Cole will still be like 36 years old by that time. Now, go ahead.
You know, I don't – okay, so Adam Cole here. We got to talk about this. hang on. Okay, so Adam, first off, I think the schedules, because, I mean, is WWE's plan still going back to live shows?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So, I mean, the workload at eight, I think his big thing going forward, that's what I thought. His big thing, does he want to work 265 days a year, or does he want to have the limited schedule of AEW? The Britt Baker thing, does that really matter? I mean, I guess we kind of talked about this. I don't think it matters to a lot of these guys. I mean, this is their profession. I don't think it matters that they're significant others than the other one. But, man, I have a hard time believing he'd ever go to AEW. And I'd like to see him as the next big guy, though. And I don't see it happening.
And believe it or not, I mean, we talked about this guy, but one of the first people to have such an impact in Adam Cole's life, Jim Cornette. He was the ROH booker, and he pushed Adam Cole as far as he possibly could push him. He and Kyle O'Reilly. And those are guys that he swears by. And Adam Cole is that guy. He, if he were not just a little bit bigger, he's not tall. They list him at 6 feet. I'm 5'11", and there's no way. I've been in the room. I've been in like our age. I've seen Adam Cole. There's no way. There's no way Adam Cole is 6 feet tall. I'm taller than he is, and I've never been 6 feet tall. The thing, I'm actually talking to people who are way over 6 feet tall.
I mean, the punter, Pat McAfee, dwarfed him just overall size. So, yeah, that does point
taken. Can we talk about him for a minute? Oh. I love it. It for me, it's almost like when I found out Tony Romo was going to start calling football. He brings an excitement, like a Mark excitement to it. I like it. I mean, he can get a little grating, but I appreciate his enthusiasm.
He makes Michael Cole really good. Like, they work. Like, that is a great fandom there. I enjoy. Yeah, they're actually fun to listen to, and I have really enjoyed his work. Absolutely.
I mean, for me, I like parts of MacP, but at times it's much. But he's better than Corey Graves, so I can't stand. Corey Graves annoys me for one simple fact. There's a guy named Mauro Ranallo. Mauro Ranallo may be the best play-by-play guy in wrestling currently. Jim Ross is the greatest of all time. Mauro Ranallo is the best currently. Mauro Ranallo, as we all know, because if you watch the documentary, he battles bipolar depression, mm-hmm. and it's bad. And he took time off when JBL would torture him, like verbally. And then Corey Graves before TakeOver tortured him beforehand, and he left TakeOver, and it was more of that bullying. And Mauro Ranallo is good friends with Frank Shamrock, UFC Hall of Famer Frank Shamrock, who wanted to go to TakeOver and talk to Corey Graves about it. And Corey Graves suddenly, you know, because of his history of neck injuries and the fact that he couldn't lick a stamp, decided against it. And he thought better of it to tangle with someone with the last name of Shamrock. I think that if they could ever get Mauro Ranallo back on NXT, it would work with him and Beth Phoenix. It just works. And good commentary is so rare. Like Jim Ross, I like Jim Ross. I don't like Excalibur, and I have no use for Tony Schiavone. Tony Schiavone just happened to be there. He's like, hey, I'm getting a paycheck again.
Oh, I'd agree. He just wants to be on the team. I mean, and it sucks too because he's really good when he like cares and is invested. But him and Ross both right now are just kind of going through the motions.
But Excalibur just I can't like the his cadence is just so
like
Christmas-ish. It's I can't. It's Kerry. Tell me if I'm wrong here, but is it not like grating on your nerves?
Yeah, you're going to hate this, but I kind of like Excalibur. I don't like when I don't like hearing him say, if I hear him say Tope Suicida one more time, I'm going to hurt somebody. But he's very knowledgeable. He's got the Pat McAfee thing. He blends, it's an excitement. You can hear the excitement in his voice when he's talking about it. If you want me to admit who AEW needs to get rid of on commentary, I can't stand Taz on commentary. I can't do it.
I like
anytime that one of his guys is wrestling, I don't know.
That's kind of his job.
I know it is. I just don't like it. I've tried to like it. Now, I loved hearing Taz wherever else he's been. He was WWE. He was in TNA. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed him in TNA. I don't enjoy him here. I'm trying, but it's not working for me. Now, I do like hearing him on Dark with Shivani. Him and Shivani, they've got a thing. I kind of like it with him and Shivani, but I don't know. I think I'm still trying to work myself around it. I think there's sometimes I like him and sometimes I wish he would just shut up.
I mean, for me, it's Taz is like Peachtree Schnapps. where a little bit is fine. Like, you can do it a little bit. Oh, that's cool. I can have a little bit. It's fine. I'm a little warm. I can just put the bottle down and go do other stuff. But if you turn the bottle up and start drinking it out of the bottle, there's a problem. And it makes you sick and it makes you sweaty and you don't want to be around people. That's what has a commentary that, like, is to me. When I look at that, and since you have time, I want to actually discuss Impact, because you brought it up. Last topic is Impact. Do either of you still watch Impact, Matt?
It's been a while. I know that they just had their big event, and I couldn't tell you pretty much anything that happened on Impact. It to me, it's just, how do I put it? I have other things in life to do than invest myself in yet another wrestling company.
I catch it occasionally. I like some of what I'm seeing. I mean, they had Deonna Purrazzo put her title online against Thunder Rosa. Speaking of that, Thunder Rosa is probably right now one of my favorite female wrestlers. Impact is going to have problems. They had problems during the pandemic, because I caught some of their pandemic shows and they weren't great. I mean, with what AEW was able, with what WWE was able to do with the Thunderdome, I think Impact would have definitely benefited from something like that, because it was, some of it was just absolutely unwatchable. I don't know. I think, I know you're, Terry, I know you're not a fan of the AEW Impact agreement right now. I mean, I really like the Good Brothers. I can't, as a heel tag team, they're fantastic. I mean, they have D'Lo Brown on commentary is great. I really enjoy listening to him. But I mean, I'm not going to watch Impact weekly and be hung on every word they're saying, because it's just the entire product is not great.
Where I look at Impact, I look at one music group, I can't get over the fact that Luke Gallows looks like the hot dog that, like, on the grill that you leave it on too long.
Me and my husband have had a discussion about where are these guys getting their tans. MJF has the worst tan I've ever seen. It's absolutely horrible. Where are these guys going to get these horrible Bar S Franks tans? They're terrible.
But as far
can't
as
unsee Impact, that right now.
I can't unsee it. And for me, you know, I watched Impact in their infancy. I watched Impact when they had Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, Christian, they had talent. I left when James Storm was checked, but I was happy. I'm like, okay, they're about to give James Storm a long title run, because he earned that after 9 years. Nope, they gave James Storm a 2 week title run. I was done. Because Impact is like Rasputin. If you know the Russian monk, where the Russian government tried to kill this guy like 80 times. They poisoned him. They started drowning. They tried to beat him to death. He outlived all of them. I have stopped predicting the death of Impact, because they will live forever. They must have, like, cybernetic parts or be part as guardian, something. They will outlive everybody. Where I kind of separate the fact that Don Callis worked for so long, and if you do a Google search with Don Callis and Karrion Kross's wife Scarlett, you know why she left. You know why he left. Don Callis is not a good person. Is not a, is not kayfabe. Is not anything on screen. Don Callis did a lot of shady things behind the scenes to a lot of women behind the scenes, and when they just kind of let it happen. Now, before we get out of here, Matt, I'll ask you first. Who's the one wrestler in the course of your life that was the lower guy or the preliminary guy that you saw in a match via on TV or whatever, you're like, you know what, this guy's going to be something, and you just kind of watched him, and then you kind of forgot about him. Who's the most random wrestler you know?
The most random?
Random, like top of your head, like, oh, this guy, yeah.
Oh, random. Oh, geez. Most random guy, yeah, oh, boy. There's a thousand of them. Who is one of my favorite random wrestlers? This is a great question. Well, I think I kind of mentioned him earlier. I really enjoyed Hurricane Helms. He was entertaining as heck. He was one of my favorites as someone who was never going to get out of those pretty much lowest tier card. I loved him, though. He was great.
Kerry, who's the most random wrestler you know? But one that you just like, you know what? This guy is random. He may not be the greatest, but you know what? It's fun.
I'm going to have to go with Colt Cabana.
Really? Oh,
Colt Cabana. He's out there. To me, he's out there. I've seen him. I actually got to see him wrestle before. The dude's just entertaining. I mean, he's doing the Twitch thing. He's doing the gaming thing. I mean, that dude is talented, and I really feel like he's never been able to make it really anywhere because of that. He's one of those dyed-in-the-wool indie guys. I don't think we'll ever see him on Raw or SmackDown, or he's just one of those guys that thrives at that mid-card level, and he's okay with that because he knows what his strengths are. I think he's great. He's got that comedy aspect we're talking about, and the guy can actually wrestle.
You know who used to be able to really go, and this was kind of random? Paul Roma. He was awesome. That was one of my favorites. If you want to talk about random, like, that guy was one of the best wrestlers in that time period, and he pretty much went absolutely nowhere in his career. But boy, oh boy, was he fun to watch. He could put on a good match.
The tag team with Hercules Hernandez, Power and Glory, where their finishing move was a superplex from Hercules, followed by the splash as the man's being superplexed and he hits the ground. Paul Rum's already in the air, so it had to be the timing was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go with Bart Gunn. Like, I swore that Bart Gunn, speaking of tag team finishes, they had. The Smoking Guns had a tag team finisher that was called the Revolver, where Billy would shoot the guy into the ropes, backdrop, Bart would pile drop. It is one of the most underrated moves of all time. Bart Gunn, we have to do a segment soon about the Brawl for All. Like, I suggest that all three of us watch it and watch how just awful the concept is. But Bart Gunn.
I was just about to say, if that hadn't happened, if he hadn't participated in that, we'd be talking Hall of Fame with him. He was incredibly talented. But that whole debacle, we're definitely going to have to touch on that because that was a debacle.
I mean, for me, it's like Bart Gunn had that left hand. And just he knocked out Dr. Death. He knocked out the Godfather. He knocked out JBL. Like, he knocked out JBL was scary where his legs was twitching. His leg was stiff.
Oh, yeah.
And he was twitching.
He was
I thought he was dead. Like, oh, but he's still twitching. Oh. But Kerry Angie, Matt Finder, I want to thank you both for joining us on our show. This has been an episode of the Hot Tag Podcast. Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other.